Hello everyone, welcome to a very special episode of Retro Rewatch. It's the show where we rewatch retro TV shows. And when I say we, it's actually bigger we today. Usually it is Jeff and me, and Jeff has not seen the show and I have, which is also true for what we're going to listen and watch. Well, what we watched and what we're going to talk about today. But we have a special guest. Someone
now that's exciting.
That is exciting, right? Someone that I do a lot of podcasts with and have been on his show and is a big fan of the show we're going to watch today. Dave Ginsberg is here. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Patrice. Dave. And Jeff, hi. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
That was such a cool idea. You were like, oh, we have to do this. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And since this is episode 99 of this podcast, I was like, okay, we're going to do that. Yeah, we have also something special for 100 planned. But 99 is a perfect number for this very episode.
Nice.
Yeah.
So,
it's great to meet you. No, wait.
I mean, Jeff, with your memory.
Let's see how many podcasts I'm on with you. One, two, three.
So many.
I mean, since Jeff can barely remember anything that we do, like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you know, in my defense, it's hard to remember what I had for lunch yesterday.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Today we are going to talk about one of my favorite shows, which is Chuck. It's a very geeky TV show. Dave was a big fan of it. Me too. I literally just finished a complete rewatch. I want to say 2 weeks, a week ago or something. And then I just turned around and watched the pilot and the first episode again, because that is what we're doing. We decided for no other reason than that an AI had told me we should do so, and turned out it kind of made sense. We decided to watch the first episodes, the first two. As is tradition for these kind of one-off shows, I have a little bit of background information for you. Since this didn't sync, I'm just going to read it off my other device here. So let's start with some of the basics. The original air date for the pilot episode, which is titled Chuck versus the Intersect, was October 1st, 2007 on NBC. So it's an NBC show. It actually aired in Germany August 22nd, 2009, so about almost 2 years later, on a network called ProSieben. I don't remember watching it there, but maybe I did. German title is actually not that surprising, because it's Chuck gegen den Intersect, which is literally Chuck versus the Intersect. So we have a tradition in Stargate where the show titles are sometimes completely ridiculous in German. Not so much here. It has an IMDb rating as of today of 8.3. So not bad for a pilot especially. And it was written by, well, the two creators, of course, Josh Schwartz and Chris Fedak. And the director is a mysterious MCG. I actually forgot, but I looked up. It's a known director, so it's a known quantity. He just goes by MCG or MacG. I don't know. So how did the show come to be? And we should probably talk in a second about how you got introduced to it. But I'll tell you first how it got. Well, we know for Jeff how it got introduced, but how it got made. So Josh Schwartz, who was the creator of the OC, and Chris Fedak were college friends who met at USC. Fedak came up with the initial concept, kind of a thriller about an ordinary guy who accidentally downloads classified government secrets into his brain. And Schwartz saw the potential in pairing that espionage premise with a kind of genuine character comedy and some heart, and so they developed it together. The original pitch framed it being in the vein of Gross Point Blank, so action comedy with real-life emotional stakes. The title character was partly inspired by Fedak himself, so he kind of modeled after himself. He described Chuck as the guy who was always the smartest person in the room but couldn't get out of his own way. that kind of fits if you look at the show. Someone whose potential was enormous, but whose life circumstances kept him from realizing it. Schwartz added the specific detail of the big box electronics store, the Nerd Herd, obviously inspired by the Geek Squad. I have something about that because in the original script it was different. It felt like a natural environment for him. Even the uniforms of the Nerd Herd guys are kind of resemble the G-Men from the 1950s FBI movies. So, kind of interesting. NBC gave the series a rare put pilot commitment in 2006. So they were contractually obligated to pay a penalty if they didn't make it. So if they at least didn't make the pilot. The full pilot was then greenlit in 2007. They signed a 3-year, 7-figure deal with Warner Brothers to write and produce the show. Or Schwartz signed it to write and produce alongside FedEx. The idea that the government spy database could be encoded as a series of images came directly from FedEx's obsession with how spies and intelligence agencies actually store and transfer information. So that's not a crazy idea. He became fascinated with the idea of the human brain as an imperfect but impossibly complex storage system and asked, what if you accidentally became that storage system? So that was the idea. The pilot actually leaked on Torrent's websites about 2 full months before the official premiere. But rather than suppress it, the NBC actually leaned into the leak because it generated buzz and enthusiasm. And so they kind of leaned into that. The pilot drew about 9.21 million viewers. I have no idea if that was big or not by standards back then. Today, I think it would be. It says the highest rated episode in the entire series run. Okay, that's also not unusual.
Wow.
The pilot was cast at a remarkable speed. Zach Levy was announced in a lead role on February 7th. Adam Baldwin was cast the next day because Chris FedEx wanted him from the start. Yvonne Strahovski was there, followed on February 12th, so my birthday. And the pilot was filmed in March. Picked up in May, on air in September. So quick turnaround, especially for
it does seem fast.
There's one notable casting difference, and that is that Chris Pratt was Josh Schwartz's first choice for Chuck. He does actually appear in season 4 of DOC, so that's where they knew each other from. He also starred in Everwood, the same show as Sarah Lancaster, Chuck's sister on this show. So Schwartz wanted him for the show. He was the first guy I wanted to play Chuck, but as fate would have it, he was destined to guard the galaxy, not to buy more.
I see what he did there.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So he was unavailable, and Zachary Levi got the call instead. So before we talk about the cast, I wanted to ask you both, especially Dave, since he knows the show. Do you remember how and when you got introduced to it?
Yeah, and I watched it when it actually premiered back all those years ago in 2007. Wow. Because it was, I was working my current job now, I think about it, because it's been 26 years since I've been there. So in 2007, I've been there 7 years. So so I was already a geek. I was and then I saw what the whole premise of the show was and just started watching it. Like, oh my God, so I would never miss any episodes. And it, I went back and watched the first two episodes just for this show this week. And I remembered everything. It's just, it's a nice refresher, giving myself a little summary so I can refresh myself. So I was ready. That was the, that was the fun thing about the show. All the characters are amazing. Yvonne Strahovski. I think she's
amazing.
She's
my favorite.
Hot, honestly. I kind of thought that, and then being a geek, and then that's what Chuck is. How would somebody that attractive be attracted to him? And all that stuff. But just the whole premise of the show was fun and all the characters were a lot of fun. And there were some cool stuff, even, mm-hmm. The big guy, Christopher Lawrence. No, the big guy, Big Mike.
Yeah, yeah, Big Mike.
Yes, Big Mike is fun. Yeah, Big Mike.
Yeah, Big Mike is fun.
Yeah, but no, yeah, Adam Baldwin is really good. John Casey, he always like him going, he's always doing that.
Mark, by the way, Big Mike is Mark Christopher Lawrence.
Mark Christopher Lawrence, yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of great characters in there. And and then the shop she worked in, the Wienerlicious.
Yes.
Just so much great things. And there was some kind of cool guests that were on there too that you saw. Nobody big names though. It was just always just a humble, nice show.
They did have some big names later on. Most notably, what's the James Bond?
Morgan Fairchild. She was on
Morgan
there.
Fairchild, and, but also the James Bond actor. What is his name?
Bruce Boxleitner. He was.
Yes. No, but that. What is the James Bond? The one before.
Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton he played a bad guy.
I'm looking at Wikipedia, so I'm cheating.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. That was like, I was blanking on. Timothy Dalton plays a bad guy in, I think, season 4.
Yeah.
He does amazing, of course. He does amazing. Yeah. So, yeah, there's some bigger names later on, but overall, usually it was less well known actors that they preferred.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but there is some interesting overlap with Star Trek. We'll get to that in a second. Yep. I mean, Jeff, I mean, your introduction to it was probably, I'm guessing, us telling you that we're going to watch it.
Pretty much. although you will find some humor in this, I'm sure. okay, so I'm sure I'd heard about Chuck before.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, it's hard
yeah,
to
but
miss.
I just didn't really know anything about it at all.
Yeah.
And so when you said, so this is what we're going to watch, I was like, okay, great. And at that point, I thought it was like sort of like the IT Crowd, but with Best Buy Geek Squad people.
Yeah, okay. No. I mean, kind of a little bit, but no.
Yeah, but no.
Very hardcore comedy is an IT Crowd comparing to Chuck, where it's got the comedy, but it's got the action.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yes. So, so seeing the first episode, you know, just a few minutes into the episode, I'm like, yeah, this is so not the IT Crowd.
No.
Yeah.
But I was loving that they used Apple products.
Yes.
It wasn't like labeled Apple products, you know, like the Intersect computer is like an old Mac classic.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really funny.
There's even that comment from the tech group about, oh no, we're Apple people.
Was really funny.
We're Windows.
we're IT artisans.
Exactly. Yes.
And I didn't realize that Chuck was being played by Zachary Levi until the second episode.
Oh, interesting. I mean, yeah, he does look very, 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 very young. This we'll get to that in a second. Like, this was one of his first really bigger roles.
Yeah, the two people that I actually recognized, Alec Baldwin.
Of course.
And I'm like, oh, look, Jane owns a suit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you mean Adam Baldwin?
Yeah, Adam Baldwin. Yes.
What did I say?
You said
Alec Baldwin. That's the other one. No, Adam Baldwin.
Adam Baldwin. Anyhow, and the actor that plays Big Ed, Big Al,
Big Mike.
Big Mike.
Big Mike. Yeah, Mark Christopher Lawrence. Yeah, I mean, he's been around for a long time.
So. Yeah. So those are the two people I recognized in episode one. Yeah. And then episode two starts.
Yeah.
and then, because I wasn't actually paying attention to the opening credits.
Yeah. I mean, they changed also during episode two, right? Because we get the recap, basically, as an opener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, yeah. So it was kind of funny to me when I realized partway into episode two, it's like, oh, yeah, that's Zachary Levi.
Yeah. So let's talk about him. So he was born in the 1980s, so slightly older than me. Mm-hmm. His real name is Zachary Levi Pook. He got his start in musical theater and kind of regional stage work. He had a role in the Kip Stedman, the role of Kip Stedman in a sitcom Less Than Perfect. But Chuck was his first lead in a major drama series. After the show ended, he voiced Flynn Rider in Tangled, performing I See the Light with Mandy Moore, which won a Grammy for Best Song Written for Visual Media. He played Fandral in Thor The Dark World 2013 and in Thor Ragnarok 2017. Mm-hmm. Received a Tony nomination for the 2016 Broadway revival of She Loves Me. And then landed his biggest role as the lead in Shazam. And Shazam, The Fury of the Gods, 2019 and 2023.
Yeah, I did enjoy Shazam.
Yeah, it's a fun show, or a fun movie, should say.
I couldn't finish Shazam, Fury of the Gods.
Yeah, and I'm not
that,
even sure I've
that seen was it. Pretty yeah. rough. Yes. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
So, second lead, of course, is Yvonne Strahovski. She actually changed her name because I think even for this show originally, or right around that time, she was actually Australian. She was born in Sydney. Full mm-hmm. name is Yvonne Jacqueline Strahovski, which is a Polish name, but she changed it. Had minimal US credits before Chuck. Primarily Australian stage and TV. So Chuck was her US breakthrough. But after the show, she played Hannah McKay in Dexter, Kate Morgan in 24 Live Another Day, and most notably, Serena Joy Waterfall in The Handmaid's Tale. So very recently, actually, 2025, earning 2 Emmy nominations, 3 SAG nominations, and a Golden Globe nomination. She's also the voice of Miranda Lawson in the Mass Effect game series. You into that. Yeah.
And apparently the writers really like seeing her in her underwear.
Yes.
Because
yes.
That was she consistent is. In episode one and two.
That uh-huh. is relatively consistent throughout the show, and less so in later seasons. They grew up a little bit, but yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She had to put her weapons in place. Come on. That's why you have to take all your clothes off to do it.
Exactly.
And I'm sure some of the fight choreography in episode two was designed specifically to make sure that her skirt would fly up high enough so we could see her underpants.
Yeah, exactly. Then we have Adam Baldwin as John Casey, as we mentioned. He's actually from your neck of the woods, Dave.
From I think he's from Chicago, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has no relation to the Baldwin acting family, if you're wondering. Right. Had his film debut with 18 in My Bodyguard. Built a career in genre films with Full Metal Jacket, Predator 2, Independence Day, The Patriot, Serenity. Some people know him as Jane Cobb in Firefly, of course, in Joss Whedon's Firefly. He was they knew they wanted him. Unfortunately, they were able to get him. So I think he played after Chuck Mike Slattery in The Last Ship, which I also remember. And you've seen him. He shows up in other shows nowadays. A lot of, as that genre, military and spy stuff and so on. Then we have Joshua Gomez as Morgan Grimes. Kind of small roles prior to Chuck. The War at Home, Entourage at Medium. So it was his first kind of recurring role. Not a lot after. A little things here and there. But yeah, he works really well in Chuck. So. We have Sarah Lancaster, I think one of the other bigger names, as Ellie Bartarsky, so his sister. She's from Kansas originally, previously known for Rachel Myers in Saved by the Bell, The New Glass, and as Madison Kellner in Everwood. So this was her kind of third role that she got. And after that, she was, for example, in the family drama Blue Ridge, if you remember that, if you've ever seen that. Jeff's
this
probably
is probably going to come as a shock to you, but I have not seen Saved by the Bell, the new class.
Wow. should add that to the list.
No, Blue Ridge is most recent.
Yeah, Blue Ridge is most recent. Then we have Ryan McPartlin as Captain Awesome, Devin Woodcomb. the smaller roles before Jack and after. Like, it's nothing too notable. And last in the main cast, at least, we have Mark Christopher Lawrence as Big Mike, stand-up comedian, character actor, Fear of a Black Hat, Child's Play 3, Crimson Tide, The Island, guest spots on Seinfeld, Malcolm in the Middle, Heroes. Yeah, and he, of course, plays the Buy More store manager really well, Big Mike. I like him. He's funny. He's funny.
Yeah, he was funny.
So that's the main cast that we're working with.
Mm-hmm.
We have some guest stars, and now we're going to jump in a little bit into the first episode. Matthew Bomer as Bryce Larkin. If you know him from, for example, from Traveler, which was a short-lived ABC thriller. He was in White Collar, in Magic Mike. And he got a Golden Globe for The Normal Heart. So just that. Yeah, he's kind of the prototypical spy agent. We have Tony Todd as a CIA director, Langston Graham.
I recognized him as soon as he was on screen.
Yeah. Unfortunately, died 2 years ago about.
Yeah.
In November. Kind of a horror icon. He was the Candyman in the Candyman franchise. He was in the Final Destination series. He was in Star Trek, Chris Kern in Star Trek TNG and Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, Worf's brother.
Yeah, and he also had a role in Stargate. But I'm not telling you who he was, because that would be a spoiler. okay, he also voiced Zoom in The Flash and some other DC movies. Only appears in the first two episodes, by the way.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate because he's so great.
And we have Wendy McKenna as General Mary Beckman. Only for the pilot. So she is known as Sister Mary Roberts in Sister Act, or in Sister Act 2, alongside Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay.
Had a recurring role in ER. But she was, it was actually... The casting of the Beckman role came down to her and to Bonita Friederici. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. She was chosen for the pilot, but then, just couldn't do it later. So she was replaced and they renamed the character. So if you notice that Beckman is all of a sudden a completely different character and has a different name, that's why. It was renamed from Mary Beckman to Diane Beckman. In episode 2.
Huh. Well, I guess that means they didn't have to change any of the costumes or props at, say, Beckman.
Beckman, exactly. Dale Dial as General Stanfield, not super important. He was in Platoon, Saving Private Ryan, and Band of Brothers, so kind of a character actor for that. And last is C.S. Lee as Harry Tang. He's South Korean. Best known for as Vince Mazuka in Dexter, if you've seen that show. Jeff probably hasn't.
No, I've seen...
wow, that's a show you've seen, actually.
I've seen a lot of Dexter. Yeah. I haven't seen the entire series, but yeah.
But he's there from the beginning, so I think... Yeah.
And he's and great. Then,
yeah, as I said, Bonita as Brigadier General Diane Beckman. She was Malcolm in the Middle, Veronica Mars in Star Trek Enterprise, The West Wing, Parks and Recreation. She's done stage work and so on. So that's her. She is actually married to actor John Billingsley, who is also Dr. Phlox in Star Trek Enterprise. So there's the first of many Star Trek connections. There were some changes from the pilot script. I have the source if you're interested. If you're interested in reading the original script, it's actually available on the internet. I can give you the link. Or you can just search for it. So Chuck, there's an entire character that they, I would say, fortunately removed. There was a neighbor living close to them that Chuck was lusting after, called Kyla, or named Kyla, completely removed in the pilot, which I think was good because I kind of didn't work. The Geek Force was renamed to Nerd Herd. So originally it was Geek Force. And they renamed it, I think, also good choice, Nerd Herd. Parson Tang turned into Harry Tang. Sarah Kent, who was a veterinarian, by the way, was renamed to Sarah Walker. They cut a couple scenes. For example, that Chuck is driving Kyla to a date because she missed the bus. Kind of very pathetic, almost. Mm-hmm. and one, I think, notable difference is Sarah actually joined the Buy More crew alongside Casey in the original pilot. So not, I mean, she's not mentioned in the pilot at all what happens to her. And then in episode 2, we see her in the Vinalicious. But in the original script, she would have been basically also working in the Buy More.
So. At the end of the pilot, don't we see her like over by the Wiener place watching?
That could be. I don't think so. I think that only happens at episode 2.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. That's it. She walks into the store at the end. So as I said, and originally she would have joined. Okay. She would have joined basically Casey as working in the Buy More. I think less believable. So
yeah, I think it's really funny to have her working in the Wiener store, whatever they call it.
Wienerlicious. Yeah.
Wienerlicious.
Yeah. So before we jump in, last little bits, and yes, I'm talking a lot, but I'm giving you a lot of information. The pilot was shot on location, on not sound stages. So the courtyard is actually a place. Not a set somewhere. It's actually a building. I have it somewhere in here. It's in El Cabrillo, I think, Hollywood. So 1832 Grace Avenue in Hollywood, if you want to know. Corner of Franklin and Grace, if anybody can do anything with that information. The Buy More in the pilot is actually a real CompUSA store, just as an aside.
How'd that work out for CompUSA? Oh, wait, they're out of business.
But the Buy More is still there. I mean, Best Buy. I call Best Buy the Buy More, by the way. I think I got that from Doc Rock, just as an FYI. I go to
now,
the local
and now
Buy More.
I can do that too.
We yes, always, you can. I always would compare it.
Yeah. Yeah. MCG, which, oh yeah, here I have it. Joseph McGinty Nickel is his actual name, the director. Directed also Charlie's Angels, both the Charlie's Angels and the Charlie's Angels Full Throttle movies. And was brought in because of his existing relationship from the OC. So that's why. There is a second, and we'll get to that in a second episode, actually, connections to Star Trek. Robert Duncan McNeil, a.k.a. Tom Paris from Voyager, is executive producer and director. It's basically, he directed episodes of the OC which was Schwartz's show. What About Brian as well, starring Sarah Lancaster. He directed the Samantha Who pilot. And because of that, he basically was signed as a producer and director. So from episode 2 onwards, he has, across all 5 seasons, numerous directing credits, including the first Network TV episode broadcast in 3D. And after Chuck, he did Resident Alien, The Gifted, Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, Turner and Hooch. He started the Delta Flyers podcast with Garrett Wang, if you want. There's a lot of connections to Star Trek. The show's theme is actually Cake. And if you're wondering, what? Cake? The score theme is an arrangement of Short Skirt, Long Jacket by Cake, which is a band. Composed by Tim Jones, who scored all 5 seasons. the original pilot or the original launch marketing campaign cost NBC about $8 million back then, which was quite unusual high for
drama. That's a substantial financial commitment.
I think that's I'll leave it. But just FYI, the Irene Demova is actually a real thing.
I actually didn't look that up. Thank you for letting me know. Because that would have really messed up my search history.
It would have, yes. Okay. How are we gonna do this? I have a recap. Should I read it and then we talk about it?
Because sure.
Play by play probably doesn't make sense for a show like that. Okay, I'll try to keep it short. So we start out with Chuck Bartowski and his best friend Morgan, crouched in a bedroom trying to escape Chuck's own surprise party. His sister Alice has filled their apartment courtyard with their doctor friends, real life women, as she says. Mm. And Chuck spends the entire time cornering one of them and talking about his ex-girlfriend Jill. The woman leaves. Chuck doesn't even notice. So that was a pretty... I don't know if you ever had experiences like that. Like you talk to someone and you bore them and they just disappear and you don't even notice.
Story of my life.
Yeah, okay, good. I think Chuck mentions Bryce Larkin as well, his kind of college nemesis. He was probably an accountant. And then we switch over. A man named Bryce Larkin, captioned helpfully as "not an accountant," drops from the ceiling of a high security vault and steals the most sensitive intelligence database ever assembled, which is where we see the Mac, right? The old Mac classic. On the roof, he's actually on the street. He's shot by NSA agent John Casey. Dying, Bryce looks at his phone. He's already sent the email. It's addressed to Chuck. So at home, I think Chuck and Morgan are playing. Chuck opens it, and it's a single line from the old text adventure game that Bryce and him wrote at university or at college. And when he remembers, he sends Morgan home, and when he remembers, the screen explodes into thousands of classified images. They flash past for hours, and we see that the time, like the light basically changes. Morning arrives, and then Chuck basically falls over. He collapses. And when Morgan finds him, Chuck's first instinct is to blame the punch, which Morgan admits he did spike it, but that's beside the point.
it was a good fall, too. He fell right
It was back. Really, if I say that, it's like literally like falls over.
Yeah.
Basically, the next day at the Bymore, Chuck starts knowing things he shouldn't. There's a traffic report that triggers a flash about the police deployment, I think, on the way there. A news segment about a visiting general triggers another one. He says things out loud that he has no explanation for. Something is very wrong. Into the store walks Sarah Walker. We don't know yet, isn't her name, but Sarah. Blonde, composed, carrying a broken phone with practice ease. Chuck fixes it in 4 seconds. But before they can properly talk, a frantic father rushes in. He filmed his daughter's entire dance recital, but forgot to put tape in the camera. Dave, that was a funny line. It's like, but it's digital. Yeah, but it needs digital tape.
It's digital tape.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was. And I'm sure stuff like that has happened multiple times over the years.
All the time.
Yeah. Chuck to the rescue. He connects the TV wall to a live camera and has the girl perform her routine again right there in the store. Sarah watches this from across the floor. She was sent to assess him as a potential intelligence asset. She's watching a man in a nerd herd polo restage a ballet recital for a 7-year-old. Her assessment is visibly complicated, and she leaves her number. I think that was a funny comment.
I did like the whole thing with Chuck saving the day.
Yeah.
By saying, "Well, let's just film you doing it now," and the whole store stands there and applauds.
Exactly, and it's a really nice scene. And then also the afterwards, when Morgan is pestering him about the phone number and why he wouldn't call her, and And Chuck says, no, because I live in the real world.
What are you talking about, dude? You got a car.
And, yeah. and Morgan's like smelling the card.
And
yeah. Yeah. Just, yes. yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's creepy. And Chuck is like, no, I live in the real world. So that night, a masked intruder breaks into Chuck's apartment and goes straight for his, actually not laptop, for his kind of looked like
for his G4 tower.
G4 tower. Yeah. So yeah. He's also a Mac guy. So there's a fight. Chuck and Morgan are thrown against the wall. The computer falls down. I think it was like on a ledge or something, like on a shelf, and it breaks. Yes,
sitting on a shelf.
yeah.
yeah. And Chuck's so, like to Morgan, didn't you put that shelf on the wall, didn't you?
Yeah.
yes. Yeah.
yeah. So the intruder bolts and then in the car pulls off the mask and it's Sarah.
Yeah.
The next day, Chuck goes to a neighboring store, the Large Mart, I think they call it.
Large Mart.
Yeah, to find locks or buy more locks. He meets a man. The man turns around, and Chuck flashes hard. It's like bombs and blueprints and building exploding. And he's a Serbian demolitions expert. And Chuck backs away slowly and then runs away. And there's a whole thing with like he runs to. Just one of the story. He runs into a store employee and says, like, that guy is sketchy. And he's literally like smiling and talking to the cashier and whatever. And then you see like,
you can see the butt of his gun. And
exactly. Yeah. Might pretend he's nice, but he's not. So back at the Bymore, Sarah returns. She's like, oh, my phone is still broken. I never received a call. She says, And she explains she just moved in her area and, like, would he show her around? And Morgan, materializing from nowhere, basically confirms Chuck's schedule is wide open.
Gotta have a wingman.
Exactly. Yep. So they agree to a date. And now we get the scene that we just talked about. So at the apartment, Sarah is kind of, well, in her underwear, strapping on knives, putting on a Kevlar vest, talking to her director. And he tells her, I think she says something about, but he's a nice guy. He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he tells her, nice guys aren't sent government secrets. And it knocks on the door and Chuck is standing here like all, with flowers and all of that.
I'm here for my date.
Exactly. And she has asked the director what she should do. And his final instructions are, if he runs, kill him.
Yeah, so it could be an intense date.
Yeah, the date actually goes well. Mexican food, live band, funny conversation, genuine connection, which is really cool. And then, Casey arrives outside with a team of NSA agents. Sarah spots them, gets Chuck onto I think they go to a club or something and go to the dance floor. And then she kind of throws, produces knives from her ankle holster and kind of chopsticks from the hair and kind of kills/injures at least the agents that are there to kind of pick them up. And then she drags Chuck out, breaks into her car and reverses blind down a flight of steps past a group of very confused teenagers. So she's a pretty kick-ass driver. I think they ultimately Casey crashes into their car and kind of stops them. And she kind of calls for a helicopter for pickup. And they go up to a new roof to get pickup there. Sarah explains everything to her and they're on the rooftop. Bryce was a rogue spy. The email contained encoded classified intelligence. And if Chuck saw the images, which he did, then he knows every secret the CIA and NSA had. Casey arrives. He wants Chuck. So Tara points her gun at Chuck and tells Casey the CIA gets him first. So Casey points the gun at Sarah and mentions he's thinking about pancakes.
I thought that was kind of funny.
That was the deadpan delivery, like, oh yeah, maybe I'll go for pancakes after. Chuck is about to run away because he's like, this is crazy. But then he stops because he flashed on something. He saw off the roof, he saw a hotel. And with the desperate clarity of a man who has been holding this all day, that a Serbian demolitions expert is in the hotel across the street right now, and there's a bomb inside. And General Stanfield, which is meeting up with what was the Ukrainian president, ambassador, or something like that. And as it is revealed that Casey says, "You're telling me all of our secrets are in his head." And Sarah says, "Chuck is the computer." So they go find the bomb. I think it's like 2 minutes left. Chuck kind of wants to go run away first. They're thinking, okay, how can we like resolve this? Chuck kind of stays. The wires are also trapped. And then Chuck's phone rings. And it's Morgan. And he's kind of bored. And he's reporting that his computer has a case of the Domovas.
The virus.
Yes.
And the virus that Chuck had told us earlier in the episode that if your computer gets it, it actually bricks the entire computer.
Yeah. Which is the least realistic part of this episode. But okay. Chuck has an idea. He opens a browser. He kind of does it. What was it? A DOS bypass, I think, on the...
He called it like
Prism
a DOS
Express,
bypass.
I think, was the computer, because they sell it in the store. And then he opens like a search engine, searches for Irene Domova. And I think Casey tries to stop him.
He's like, he's looking up porn.
Exactly. And it's like, but ultimately... Sarah convinces him that like he's their only chance and let him do it. And so he does. And the virus, just in time, destroys the computer. It crashes. The countdown stops. And Chuck kind of is surprised and then gets overwhelmed with what just happened. And Casey tells him, don't puke on the C4.
Which, okay, that's good advice.
Yeah. Later... Basically, we see Chuck sitting like at dawn on a beach. So this was at night, but now it's dawn and he's sitting on somewhere on a beach, somewhere in LA area. Sarah joins him and she's been watching him basically the entire time. And I think he asks her, like, I can't go anywhere, right? And she's like, nope, we can't find you anywhere, basically. So Sarah tells Chuck he'll go back to his own life. He will work with them, but he cannot tell his family anything, just to keep them safe. And she asks him to trust her. And Chuck agrees. The next day, Chuck is told to, later today probably, Chuck is told to train the new Bymore employee. It's Casey in a polo shirt, radiating barely contained contempt for everything around him.
So he'll fit right in because
he fits right in.
So many employees are like that.
Exactly. Sarah walks in as a customer. Chuck spots a ring on her finger and flashes on her. A classified video of Sarah alone fighting off a group of attackers with terrifying precision before shooting out the camera. Don't freak out, he says. He's going to need to work on that. Mm-hmm. That is episode one. So I want to ask Jeff first. I know you have thoughts because I know you.
Mm-hmm.
What were you thinking?
I thought it was fun and silly, not like in a bad way, but just silly fun. Uh-huh. And I felt like the setup of, oh, we've got these people that Chuck's going to have to work with that he has to trust, but they're telling us he can't trust them. And so the whole thing about, oh, crap, what's he going to do? Can he really trust these people? That did feel a little contrived to me.
But that's, by the way, also episode two, not episode one. You're consistent.
At least I'm consistent.
The whole trust thing comes in episode two.
But we get the setup for that in episode one because we see the flashback of her taking out all these people and then shooting the camera.
Yeah. I think I didn't mention that we also get a flash about Casey and like he's a pretty hardcore killer as well.
Right. Yeah. But I enjoyed the the computer placement that they used, because it was obvious they're using Apple products, but they,
of course,
but they weren't supposed to be Apple products. And there were some great jokes.
No, the government intersect computers, of course.
Right. Government intersect computers. Yeah. And, and Morgan is a great, sidekick.
Yeah.
Comic relief character for Chuck. Yes.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the interaction between Chuck and Sarah and Casey.
So, overall,
I think it was a fairly strong pilot for a series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we got all the characters as well. Like basically all the main characters have been introduced. You've seen this show, as you mentioned before. Rewatching it, like from your perspective, what stood out to you?
No, I mean, I think a lot of what stood out was just the introduction to Chuck and what was going on with that. There was some media chemistry with the cast. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody, yeah. you felt, you
yeah.
always
yeah.
felt.
I could feel that. Yeah.
That really came a lot. It's considered a comedy, but it really blended a lot of action and romance very, very closely with it. So that was some of the things I saw. And all the humor that happened at the Bymore, you know, the nerd herd, they all standing around in that big kiosk and him just, I could relate because he hands the phone over and just within a minute gets the screwdriver out and fixes the problem. And then the other scene when they were fighting and they grabbed his Mac and the G4 and then it just crashed to the ground and I could just see
oh my god, yeah, the hard drive's completely broken.
A good thing was Chuck was very likable. He was very, very, very relatable and likable. I can definitely relate to him based on my experience working in this similar industry. I mean, as I worked in retail and I've worked in IT, so I know that feeling, you know, quite vividly. It did make the Best Buy just feel just as important as it being a spy mission because it really centered around that store and everything would go into that store. Even this the first episode, I was thinking back to the entire series.
That kind of stays that way, right? It's all set up like the store is as important as are the spy missions.
Yeah.
Dave, you and I, we have both worked retail in the past. Right. So we are both experienced enough with all this to know that the people that are in that store acting like this is the most serious thing on the entire planet, you know, mm-hmm. their mm-hmm. job.
I was when I worked in it.
Yeah, I mean that's how a lot of employees are when you're working mm-hmm. retail. It's like, oh no, this is the world. You have no idea how important to the functioning of society having these shelves stocked and faced is.
Yeah.
And knowing all the inventory off the top of our head.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, also, I think what I really liked, the nerd dynamics of the Bymore store, right? I mean, this is like who works there is usually one way or another hardcore nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, if you worked in the nerd herd in this case or the Geek Squad or like whatever, mm-hmm. But even a normal store employee is like they're like you wouldn't work in a store in an electronics store if you weren't into somewhat at least into electronics.
That's true, and in my case it was REI. So
yeah,
we were all people that were really into doing outdoor stuff.
Yeah. So for you, Dave, you kind of like for you, Chuck is the character you relate most to.
Oh yeah, I think I was like the guy who always, you know, when I worked in retail, because I worked in electronics department, and when I work now, I was always the guy to get the answer question. It was I think really the way the whole thing blended the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, this pilot really established the emotional stakes. Before getting into all the spy plots, because the spy plots didn't start until episode 2. So you got the feel of what
a little bit. We got tiny little bit,
a little bit at the end. Yeah, with doctor with a and all the other stuff yeah. and the yeah. bomb and grabbing the phone, and he knew right away what the phone model was.
Yeah.
And I would be the same way because I have catalog numbers off the top of my head. So it was very relatable when it came to that, and just, you know, just watching all the characters doing their thing and being excited about getting promoted to assistant manager.
We'll get to that at the end of episode two. Before we go to episode two, Jeff, I want to ask you, what's from the pilot's perspective, what's your favorite so far?
Like my favorite element
character. Favorite character. That you connect with or that you're most interested in or anything like that.
The character, I'm actually torn. There's two characters that I'm just really drawn to because they are just straight up for fun.
Yeah.
And it's Morgan and Casey.
Okay. Yeah. Which is fun. Which is fun because there is a storyline or they kind of interact a lot during the show.
Oh, good.
Without spoiling anything, because like if you want to watch it, I usually don't want to spoil
It would make sense that they interact at least on some level.
Yeah.
Because they work in the same store.
Yeah.
And in episode two, I remember this is an episode two thing, we find out that Casey now has the apartment upstairs from Chuck.
Yeah. Or across the courtyard or something like that. I'm not going to spoil it to you. For me, like Sarah's character is kind of the most interesting. Also, knowing the development.
Have a whole series to look at.
Yeah, but right it's now, also yeah, but it's know. Also I like her development. I mean, in a sense, and you get that already in episode one. Both Chuck and her have a lot in common. She is, she's a kick-ass spy, but she has, you see it in episode two a little bit more, and then like down the line even more. She is about socially as awkward as he is. Like she can, she's better pretending she's not. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the real world and real stuff and real people, she's about as socially awkward as he is because she does not know how to deal with real people. Like she's used to pretending that she cares about someone. Mm-hmm. And that's for me. That's also very interesting, and like her development later on. Yeah. So for me, that's it. I always watched it from her perspective. But Chuck is fun. Like he's just such a fun character.
Yep.
Let's jump into episode two. This one was directed by. I should mention that because I forgot that earlier. This is directed by Robert Duncan McNeil. Got a 7.7 on IMDb and aired a week later. So September 24th, 2007 in the US and August 29th, 2009 in Germany. So it's titled Chuck versus the Helicopter, which is a theme that you see if you watch the episode. Every episode is Chuck versus something.
Okay.
So that's kind of how they set it up here. So we start. Chuck visits Sarah at the Wienerlicious, and he's kind of surprised that she's there. She explains it's her cover. And he asks her if there's a plan. And she says, yes, there is one. She'll explain it on another date. The moment he leaves, she's on the phone calling, I guess, her handlers. And she's like, Chuck is in, send the doctor. In the meantime, Beckman, and in this case, it is now the Diane Beckman character, surveys footage of Chuck waving a red blanket while Morgan charges it like a bull. And she says, our most valuable secrets have been sent to an idiot.
Well, I mean, to a degree, she is right.
She is right. Graham, looking at Morgan, allows that at least they weren't sent to his friend. Yes, correct. Dr. Sarno, the NSA's top scientist, is flying to LA, and if anyone can extract the intersect from Chuck's head, it's him. That night,
So Dr. Sarno, Yeah. And you probably have this and in the notes somewhere. So stop me if you want to.
I don't think so. Yeah.
The actor playing Dr. Zano played Silic, the Suliban bad guy in Star Trek Enterprise.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. No, I did not have that. I did not put the guest stars actually in for the second episode. Yeah, you're right. Another Enterprise character. So that night, Sarah runs Chuck through a test in the Bymore's home theater room. So Chuck thinks it's a date, right? Because first one was a date. But he basically gets let into his workplace. They have rewired the room and they like close the blinds or whatever so that the doctor cannot see them. I think there's a comment where like the doctor says later like, oh, like is the human intersect working in the Bymore? And Sarah says something about, you think like a person that has the most important secrets of the country would work at a Bymore? Like, it's ridiculous, basically. But we know it's true. He shows him images on the TV there, and first it's like, oh, whatever, this is a hippo, this is a woman, whatever, and then he shows like a rose or something in front of the White House, and Chuck starts reciting classified intelligence. Like a man reading from a teleprompter, he can't turn it off. And it's like, oh, yeah, what was it? Flight something, something, really, and whatever. We never hear the full story. We just hear parts of, like, the secrets that he has.
And then it goes, and that's obviously a turtle.
And that's obviously a turtle. That's how it ends. Sarno is really astonished. Chuck asks, can you remove the secrets? And Sarno says, yes, I think I can. So Chuck is cautiously optimistic and asks if that means they're through once it's done. And Sarah says yes. So Sarno leaves, drives away, but then his car explodes. That's act one.
Yep.
The next day at the wreck site, Sarah and Casey are there, and Sarah finds the remains of what is, well, we learn later, a call, an NSA incinerator. I'm like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, it looks like a cell phone.
Yeah, it looks like a cell phone, but it's a device designed to eliminate all biological traces from something. It's a bomb. It's a fancy bomb. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, that makes no sense. Like, this is a tiny, I think, for the time, normal cell phone.
Nokia. Yeah.
A Nokia phone, yeah, exactly. And it's like, yeah, no, this is an NSA incinerator. Sarah pockets it and tells Casey there's nothing there. The moment she's gone, Casey calls Beckman. He's like, feels like a CIA job to me. And so begins the episode's central game. Two handlers, one asset, and a rapidly escalating mutual accusation. Casey pulls Chuck aside and says, oh, at the Bymore, don't meet privately with Sarah. And then Sarah sends him an email and kind of asks him to come across the street. And she tells him, don't meet privately with Casey. And Chuck is kind of caught in between them. But he does his best.
And of course, they both know that that he'd spoken with the other person. And,
yeah, of course. Yeah. The whole thing. Yeah. Meanwhile, Ellie has invited Sarah to dinner. Chuck, who now suspects Sarah may have killed Sarno, cannot get out of that, of course. When they're there, Casey arrives uninvited with Keisha. He's like, oh, yeah, I just moved in and I thought I would come over. And of course, Ellie, being the nice person she is, he's like, oh, you want to join us for dinner? Right. Chuck introduces him as a friend from work. Casey leans in and tells him, pull a stunt like that again and I'll kill you before she can.
Yeah. And yeah, so there's the whole thing with the stunt of Casey had staged a call to the store, needing help from someone that has Chuck specific tech skills.
No, so that happens a little bit later. But right now we're in the scene with the dinner.
Uh, Huh. You're right. Okay. I've got it in the wrong order. I thought that's when he showed up and his clothes was all smudged up from the explosions and.
No, you're right. That happened before that. Yeah, there was I skipped over that, I think. Did I skip over that or just didn't mention it? Yeah, there was this whole thing. Yeah, basically Casey had another car chase and another incinerator basically blew up. And you're right, that was right before here. I skipped over that.
Yeah.
Didn't think that was
super
important.
And Chuck drove off and left Casey standing in the middle of nowhere by a burning car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with that, I skipped over that a little bit. Yeah, exactly. There's a dessert that Sarah brought, and Chuck, I think, flashed on it and sees that she killed some diplomats with poison. So he's kind of suspecting that the souffle is poisoned. Chuck then tries with a magic trick, like he tries to pull the
tablecloth
under it and hoping that it all would collapse. But of course, everything kind of stands, but the candle kind of like waves a little bit. And then I think Casey kicks the table and falls over and the souffle goes up in flames. And there's that. Sarah pulls Chuck aside, tells him the diplomats were assassins who were after her, and that makes, I think, them realize that if Casey didn't kill Sarno and she runs away, and Casey and Chuck follow them, Sarno actually loads her into his car at gunpoint and tranks Casey and drives away. Chuck and Casey try to track a microbot signal. Casey had laced the quiches, only to find it leads to Morgan. Because he had basically eaten all of them. But Chuck refuses to accept that, and he works through it and has basically, if you were a bad guy, how would you get out of LA faster? So chopper somewhere close to like water or something close to this. So they basically find an airfield near the port and go there. Chuck is supposed to stay in a car, but of course he doesn't. He finds Sarah chained to
a pipe or something.
Pipe or something. He gives her something to pick the lock, but then he's discovered by Sarno, and of course he, stupid as he is, he kind of reveals his intersect. Because he brought out that he knows about Sarno's North Korean connections, Sarno shoots him with a trank dart. Turns out it hits him in the pocket protector where he has the pens.
Because of course he has a pocket protector.
Yeah. So when they're airborne, he gets loaded in the helicopter, but when they're airborne, he kind of wakes up. Has this massive trank gun. I'm like, this is the most ridiculous trank gun I've ever seen, but okay. And basically, there's a fight. The pilot gets shot, as usual, and kind of slumps over. And then I think Chuck knocks out Sarno. He basically tries to get the helicopter down, but he's kind of doesn't know what he's doing, of course. And Casey, he called Casey, and Casey explains, collector, whatever. Oh, pull this, do that. And he's like, it's not working. And then Chuck says, give me Sarah. And Sarah is smarter. She's like, okay, what flight simulators have you applied? And he's like, yeah, Mavericks of the Skies, Apache Chopper Patrol. And he's like, perfect. The last one. Forget where you are. You're in your bedroom. It's just a game. Just land the helicopter, you would be in the game. I'm like, yeah, this is not how it works. But he actually does successfully do so. And he's all like, oh, yeah, I'm the best, whatever. And he wants to high-five Sarah. But she tears into him. She's like, what the hell were you thinking? She tells him, I'm not Bryce. I would never betray you. I would never want to hear that accusation again. And if not, she says, mission over, we all back to Washington, and you do not want that to happen, Chuck. And she says something about, I asked you to trust me, not to believe me, or something like that. So after that sequence, we go to Bryce Larkin's funeral. Chuck watches Sarah kind of cry at her funeral, so there's clearly something going on. And later, Chuck finds Sarah Devinalicious. He apologizes to her. She forgives him. There's a nice chemistry going on between the two. And then she asks if he's ready for more missions, because like that's what's going to happen if it stays that way. Because, I mean, there's basically no way that anybody can remove the secrets now. Like, Zarno was the only hope. Mm-hmm. And he says, reluctantly, he says, yes. And then the doors open, and Ellie, Devin, and Morgan come in, ready for a second attempt at dinner, this time at Devinalicious. And Sarah hands him a corn dog, and he bites into it.
A burnt corn dog.
And that's the end of the episode. So, Dave, since we only have limited time with you today, I want to hear your thoughts, like, after the second episode. This was more action, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we didn't even touch on the helicopter mission.
Yeah, there were so many details.
which was kind of crazy. He supposedly gets the dart gun in his chest, and they think he's passed out in the back.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up, and he gets the dart gun in his hands, and he shoots them both, and it hits the pilot. And then, of course, I don't know how to fly a helicopter. And it was kind of cool. He was able to, Casey was actually able to talk him down. So, so that was kind of a cool thing. And then Chuck was doing a lot of panicking during this episode. Yes. I mean, that was one of the big things too. And then this is where the relationship between Sarah and Chuck started. But she kept continuing to defend him. Because they think, he's just, we got to get rid of him. No, you can't, because he's got the Intersect in his head. And if you don't get that,
he's
over.
Working, right? Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's working somehow. Like, he's doing things that like they need him basically at the end.
Yeah. And then the mix with Morgan causing chaos and him going crazy with that stuff. So it was, it was a good episode. I kind of think it kind of started to keep the season to progress, in later episodes.
Yeah.
But there was weak points with this show. I mean, not to lose a bit of focus on episode two, the fact that it potentially got canceled because the NBC wasn't thinking this was doing as well as it should. So, but I thought it was a ton of fun. I think the fans found that too. So that's why it lasted as long as it did. So,
yes.
But overall, I think it really was just a lot of fun. I like the technical references that happened. You know, it felt very 2007.
Yes.
Because it does. Just all the technology. The music choices were good too. You know what? The music I thought was a lot. It was really fitting, and felt I felt that that the music was really good.
That continued. Like, I mean, there was a lot of good music across the seasons.
And you start to see Chuck growing and becoming more useful during the missions, because he was a scatterbrain in the first episode.
He's definitely a fish out of water in the beginning, but he learns and he gets better at it.
Right. And then he finally realizes, his life's not going back to normal, if ever, in this episode. This was a good starting point, and then it progressed as we may talk in the future. But
I mean, that's why I kind of wanted to do the first two episodes together, because it kind of, the pilot is interesting, but the second episode is really where you see where it's going, right? Because we really get to see more what's going to happen later. The pilot was more, okay, let's set everything up.
Yeah. And that's pretty typical of most series like this one, especially during that time.
Yeah. Except for Stargate, but yeah.
Yeah, Stargate's a little different. Yeah. That's the thing. Even though this was this show is such a, it was very fun. And likable and enjoyable to watch each week, because I made sure I was on my list to watch every week. And I've got shows now I do too, but that are they're like that these days, but nowhere near what this was, the way it was before, what it is now. Just enjoying it. I mean, it wasn't for everybody, but you know, I've asked somebody at work today when I was at lunch, and he's like, I don't know, I don't remember that show, you know, and I don't think I didn't pursue it any further, but so some people just kind of forgotten about it, but it's a lot of fun. I'm glad we were able to review these first two episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Since you have to leave soon because you have another appointment, and like there's a lot of content we had to talk through. Maybe Jeff, really quick, and then we'll let you go, Dave, and you. What your thoughts about second episode?
Okay, so well, the whole thing with you can't trust Sarah, that whole setup did feel kind of contrived to me.
Yes, it was.
I did like that they at least resolved that, and at the end we see, okay, here's these three people that while they may not all of them get along together equally, they know they all have to work together.
Yeah, but they're also working together, right? I mean, it at the end it works. They resolved the problem.
Yeah. And so we've got the setup. It's the three of them working together. There will be clashes between them, but they'll always pull together when they need to.
Yeah, and a Morgan wildcard and a Sarah. I'm saying Sarah Lancaster. No, and Ellie managing the social side and so on.
Right. Yeah. And then we have a setup for more danger for Chuck, because Casey gets the call saying, hey, there's another intersect that they're working on. And when that one's done, Chuck won't be necessary anymore.
Yeah.
And Casey says, well, then means. What happens to him? Like, well, then he's going to die.
Kill him. Exactly. Yeah, I didn't mention that in recap, I said for time. But yeah, that is one of the key aspects as well.
But I thought it was a very fun episode.
Yeah.
And it was just a fun kind of comedic adventure ride.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Dave, thank you so much for joining us, for being with us, for doing this special episode. The show.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I love it.
This was awesome.
I'm honored. I'm honored. This is a ton of fun.
We'll have you back for something else. Like there's so many. I have a long list of shows for.
There's so many shows I have.
This show can go on for infinity. There's so many good shows.
Yeah, exactly. We might go back to Chuck at some point. Like it's never. Okay. I mean, we haven't done that for any other show, but it's always possible that we're like, hey, Jeff, you want to watch another episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could happen.
Could happen.
Yep.
So, Dave, I mean, you have a lot of podcasts.
I'll keep it brief.
Just mention where people can see more from you.
Just go to InTouchWithIOS, InTouchWithIOS.com. I'm on the various podcasts, including Neo Notebook, Mac Voices Live, In Touch with iOS, The Mac Show with you guys on the British Tech Network, and as well as the Visual Profiles and appear on a few other shows here and there, but that's where you can find me. And then Blue Sky Mastodon is on Dave G65.
Thank you so much, Dave. So I'm just gonna let you go. Jeff and I are gonna do the outro, but I know you have another appointment, so I want.
Okay, thank you so much.
Dave, to let you go.
This has been awesome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Right. It was great.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. So, I think last thing I want to say about the show is, I mean, I love it. Like it's the. And you don't know, but like the character development, all of them, and that's really, I like it. All of the characters evolve over time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not next week everything is reset to default. Like they all grow. They all grow in different ways, in different directions. But I mean, everybody has their flaws and their things they have to grow up and learn and get better at and whatever. And you would think like even like a Casey, I mean, he's like, seems to have it all together, but he doesn't. He has a past and he has stuff and he has things that he has to learn and lighten up maybe a little bit about. And Morgan definitely has to grow up. I mean, he is a child.
Oh yeah,
right.
He's an adult child.
Yeah. Did you catch that whole thing with Morgan and Sarah? It's Morgan and Sarah. I always say Sarah. Morgan and Ellie.
Well, there's a couple things. There's one where she kicks him out.
Yeah.
So
he is like, he kind of has a crush on her, but she's in a serious relationship. And
it's her fiance.
She's an adult and he is kind of a child, man child. So just kind of goes and she shows that. I mean, like, she knows he's, like, he's Chuck's best friend, but I think also she thinks, like, he's not the best influence on Chuck.
Yeah. Oh, that yeah. scene's in yeah. episode two.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the aspects. But as I said, like, all of them grow in different ways. I mean, maybe Captain Awesome the least bit, and Ellie also, Ellie does grow a little bit. But the let's say the other characters, all of them grow and change, and yeah. That's one of the aspects I really, really like about this show, like the changes. And said, like, both Sarah and Chuck have a lot in common. You wouldn't think so. I mean, he's kind of the big nerd, socially awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Works. I mean, went to Stanford but never graduated. Works in a Bymore in the North Herd. Doesn't really know. I mean, there's in the first episode the scene where he's like, "What's your 5-year plan?" And he's like, "Yeah, I have one. I just need to."
Need to choose the font.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, like, very clearly, he has no clue what he's doing and where he's going.
Yeah.
And that changes. Right. And well, and good. Like, Sarah is the opposite in a way, because she's like, she's the super spy. I mean, she's very effective. I think it's mentioned she just came back from a year in somewhere Middle East, I guess. You would think, like, she has everything figured out. She's, like, well-rounded or whatever. But she doesn't know how to handle real people and real emotions.
Yeah. Okay, I can see that. And I do like that you can see, even with just these two episodes, that she's already having an emotional conflict going on, because yeah. she knows how she has to deal with Chuck as an asset.
Yes.
But she sees what he's doing. Like when he uses the store equipment so the girl yeah. can do yeah. her valet thing again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And, you know, so she sees these aspects of Chuck, and she finds them very appealing.
Yeah.
And so now she has this emotional thing that she has to try and figure out how to balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do like that we're just two episodes in, and it's already very clear that this is something she has to deal with. Mm-hmm. But they didn't do that in a ham-fisted way.
No. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there's a kind of a secondary thing we see. It's kind of hinted at multiple times. She had a relationship with Bryce Larkin.
Yeah, that seemed really obvious to me.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of obvious, but that also, I mean, he's dead, right?
Yeah.
And he supposedly betrayed the CIA. At least that's what they're saying right now. So she's struggling with that as well, right? That there was something real that she had and she lost. But it was mm-hmm. something real with another spy, right? And yeah. Chuck is another person. And yes, I mean, I think it's clear. Yes, they're pretending to be in a relationship or starting a relationship, dating.
Yeah, and he
it's also clear
points that out.
Yeah, yeah, he does point it out. And I think, but it's also clear there is something more happening.
Yeah. Right?
At least, I think on both sides. Like, I mean, that he is absolutely interested or would be interested in her, I think, yes, obvious. But she's mm-hmm. kind of charmed by his charming ways, right? By his like, taking care of people, his, like, family, mm-hmm. his sister, even taking care of Morgan in a way, right? Because Chuck is definitely the more adult person in that friendship. Yeah,
clearly.
Yeah. So, like, he's, I mean, at the day, like, the first date, he's very charming in a yeah, non-douchebag way, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and in also kind of a nerdy way a little bit, but, like, not too awkward. Like, he's totally okay with it. Even though Chuck thinks he's completely out of her league. which he clearly says in the first episode. So yeah, you can see where this is going and where also the complications will come from, because
yeah,
they're pretending to be in a fake relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm really glad to hear you say that these characters all grow and evolve.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if they basically reset at the beginning of each episode,
yeah,
the show would get old.
Yeah, pretty quickly. Yeah. There's more characters that you've kind of not met that you will, or met in passing, maybe seen, that you will, like the people in the store, even they change and grow and evolve a little bit over time.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's the sales guy. What's his name? Harry, I think.
Yeah, Harry Tang. Yeah, Harry.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and he is so 100% committed.
Yeah.
To the job, and he is so serious.
Yes. Yeah.
And to me, that was so funny because, well, of course, I took my job seriously when I worked in retail.
Yeah.
I wasn't over the top obsessive.
Yeah.
Like
he is.
Like he is. But I worked with people that were like that.
Yeah. There's people like that. And I mean, you also see the other miscreants, like we get little glimpses of Jeff and Lester.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. The oldest and the kind of, well, he's actually not Indian. He's like, what was it? He's actually ultimately is Canadian.
It's okay, that's funny.
There's a funny backstory to that. And the girl, like the goth girl, she has a, like, they all have brief things, but they said they stick around and they also are interesting characters at the end.
Nice.
Yeah. So they said the whole cast is just very, very likable characters, all of them. Even Harry Tang, like, I mean, as evil as he might be, he's kind of a likable evil character.
Yeah, he's yeah. Yep, yeah. I get what you're saying. Yep.
Yeah. That's it. And there's other characters that show up. What's his name? The captain from Enterprise. What's the actor's name?
Blanking. Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula also has a role later. So there's a lot of overlap
with
Star Trek. Yeah, he has a role in the show and so on. So they said, you know, there's a lot of cool people that show up over time and have roles.
You know, it doesn't surprise me that we get actor crossover.
Yeah, I mean, that's also...
And especially Enterprise, because Robert Duncan McNeil was a director for, I think, multiple episodes of Enterprise.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, there is overlap between shows like that. In general, I think between shows, like, there's only so many actors. And you want to hire also actors you know. Like, you know, you're okay. And it's like, okay, I know that guy. Like, Scott Beckett.
That's why and I haven't been hired for any of these shows.
Nobody knows us.
Just don't know us.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's surprising.
Yeah. So, as I said, I mean, we kind of rushed through it a little bit in the recaps and so on, because I had to cut out a lot of details. But I also knew that a play-by-play wouldn't work, because just too much happening. It's not like Stargate.
It's a very fast-paced show.
Yeah, not like Stargate where we can do that. But I hope I got the point across. Like, so for me, an important question is, will you continue watching it?
I will.
Good.
I enjoyed it.
Good. So then we'll check in at some later point, and I'll ask you about some other episode probably. I'll ask you about, like,
okay,
how it's going and, like, what you like or didn't like so far. It's definitely on my list of the top shows that I love watching. It's just, is it just the character develops. I cry at the end always. Like, it's a good ending.
Well, I bet eventually I will get there.
Yeah, I mean, it's only 5 seasons, and the last season was quite short.
Well, and this is not the first show that we've done between seasons for Stargate.
No, it's not.
That and I've enjoyed all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone back and watched a few more of Airbender.
Oh, cool. So how far did you get?
Let's see. Several episodes in, actually. And I'm trying to remember, because some of the things, they all come together. They had found the Airbender temple.
Yeah.
That was abandoned. Temple.
Yeah.
And there's the one statue that comes to life.
Yeah.
And so there was the whole interaction with that. Mm-hmm. And that's as far as I've gotten.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. There's still a lot. There's still a lot. Yeah, but okay. But I thought...
Spoilers, everyone, if you haven't watched Airbender.
No, it's fine. Like, we're a spoiler show, right? Because, yeah, as I said, it's good. I thought that one might interest you, because it's a fun show. It's also not long episodes, so you can kind of easily squeeze in a little one here and there.
Yep, and I do love that about the show, too. This show... when I sat down to watch the first episode, I didn't know how long the episodes were.
Yeah, they're a typical 40 or something.
Because I honestly was thinking it was going to be like a half hour show.
Yeah, no, it's not. I was kind of on the border, should we watch both? But I kind of wanted you to see the full spectrum. And I think if you had just seen the pilot, you would have missed kind of what the setup really is, because it's so little in the original pilot.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm glad that it ran in an hour slot instead of a half hour slot, because they couldn't have told these stories in a half hour slot.
Yeah. And I mean, you can see it.
They do a lot in each episode.
Exactly. I mean, and you can see that, right? There's the three parts that I think a lot of episodes will have. There's the buy more stuff, there's the spy life stuff, and there's the personal life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think
we've hit all of those in both episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that recurs throughout the series.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it's every episode like that, but it does always play a role some way or another, which is real, right? I mean, you have, especially when you have a double life like that, you have your cover job, which is also your real job, kind of ish. Mm-hmm. You have a personal life, hopefully. Which you want family and friends and so on, and you have your spy life that you kind of have to also get it.
Yeah,
and I mean
that's a lot to balance.
It's also TV show, so like, of course, everything happens around Chuck, of course.
Of course, it does.
Yeah. But as I said, there's a lot. So yeah, keep watching. It's a fun show. And as I said, I fell in love with like the first. I didn't watch it until many years later.
Same.
I heard about it, and then eventually, in the late 2010s, maybe I was like, oh, maybe I should watch it. And I watched it, and I started with the first like two, three episodes, and I was like, and I was hooked, and I basically binged the whole thing, like till the end, like literally. And it's still the same. Like whenever I watch it, I cannot stop,
because
it's just such a fun and heartwarming thing, and like. Real struggles, like it's also very relatable. Real, it's not the James Bond or like, oh, he lives like a glamorous life or whatever. No, like he's like they're normal people.
Yeah, and he's clearly not typical hero.
No,
I mean he has a lot of social skill issues.
Yes.
He lives in the spare room in his sister and her fiance's apartment.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. His best friend is a man child, like even more than him.
Yeah. Yeah. And they play video games together.
Yeah.
His friend comes in through the bedroom window and calls it the Morgan door.
The Morgan door. Yeah. But also, like his last relationship was 5 years ago and he's still hung up on her.
Yeah.
Right. And I think Ellie says something about like, I should get over it. And he says, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, as I said, it's that all of that makes him kind of relatable for normal people. It's not, that he's not the James Bond type of, like, which is fun to watch, but it's less relatable.
Yeah, he's just a guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy. I mean, it could be like you. You get sent an email, you open it, and all that information is uploaded in your brain, and now you're you're a spy. Or an asset, at least.
Just like that.
Yeah. All right. We have a very special episode planned for next week or next time.
But I'm looking forward to that too.
For today, I think we should close this episode. I don't know what would be the equivalent to closing the iris here. It's like crash the computer. I don't know.
Crash the computer with a virus.
Crash the computer with a virus. Blow it up.
Time for us to crash that computer.
Yeah. By the way, that I'll give you a mild spoiler, but it's just something that I love. That scene comes back at the very end. That whole laptop scene comes back at the very end.
So they bring it full circle for the whole series.
Yes, yes. And I love that. As I said, you know me, I usually don't spoiler things, but I wanted to mention that because I just love that aspect that it gets brought full circle in a way. So let's crash the computer, close the laptop, and go home. So Jeff, thank you also for being here. We already had to say bye.
But thank you, Patrice, Dave, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks. So where can people find out more about you?
Well, how about both of my blogs, freshbrewedtales.com and jeffgamet.com. And then on the social medias as JGamut, active mostly on Mastodon, Pixelfed, and Blue Sky. And then, as usual, I'll pick two shows. And I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't pick In Touch with iOS this week, Dave Ginsberg's show.
Yeah.
And then The Context Machine, the show that I do with Brant Chaffin.
Very cool. All of them very good shows. You can find out more about me on my website, thepatrice.com. We'll take you there. It's where you find all the podcast, project, social media links, all of that. And of course, I'm also with you on the British Tech Network. More importantly, if you have thoughts, opinions, interesting things you want to share about your Chuck journey or suggestions for other shows we should watch, send them to us. There's multiple ways you can do that. One would be at retrorewatch@techhangout.social on Mastodon, or at retrorewatch.com on Blue Sky, or very easy, send an email, hello@retrorewatch.com. Maybe I should introduce special episode email addresses, but not for today. hello@retrorewatch.com, easy one. And with all of that said, let's flash on this episode. Thank you for listening. See you next time.
Bye, everyone.